Rosé, dear listeners, is the Rodney Dangerfield of wines. It gets no respect. Dorothy Gator and John Brescher are the married wine columnists for the Wall Street Journal, and they talked with our Karen Grigsby Bates about one of the summer's loveliest wines. Karen, why this particular wine?
Well, you know, Alex, we don't drink a lot of rosé in this country, and I wanted to know more about the wine, so I asked John Brescher to start us off with the basics.
Rosé is a really simple idea. It's pink wine made from black grapes. What makes any wine have color are the skins. So if you leave Cabernet Sauvignon, for instance, in with its skins for a long time, it'll be a red wine. But if you left it in for just a short time, it would be a pink wine.
And a good rosé is not a red wine wannabe or a white wine wannabe. It's proud to be pink.
Why do Americans sneer at it so? You know, you say to somebody, well, let's try rosé for once in a life. Toilet water, I don't think so. What's that all about?
Well, it reminds us of the wines of our youth. And people remember these as simple, sweet concoctions, and they're embarrassed about it. But no one should ever be embarrassed about the wines that they like. And a good rosé can be dry and crisp and just delicious.
In a lot of cases, people are stuck in a California rut. And the truth is that an awful lot of the most widely available rosés made in America really are sweet and simple. So people think of rosé as sweet and simple. But the truth is there are rosés made all over the world that aren't sweet and simple. And when people taste those, it's amazing. You wouldn't believe how many people come back from the south of France and send us notes saying, you know, rosé can be really good. Well, you bet it can.
You've said that you can find really lovely rosés in Europe. I, alas, do not live in the south of France. Where would we go to find a rosé that we'd like that wasn't really sweet here in the U.S.? What would you suggest?
The best rosés for the money are coming out of Spain. If you look for a rosé from Spain from the 2002 or 2001 vintage, only because you want to drink them young and fresh, it's going to be hard to go wrong. These are wines that are dry, they're vibrant, they're, as Dottie said, proud to be pink, and they're very good with food.
What kind of food would you eat with a rosé?
We love them with roast chicken, even ham sandwiches.
Since we're still in the wedding high season, summer, and since champagne is drunk at weddings, usually, is pink champagne beyond the pale? It's not rosé proper, I know, but can you drink pink champagne?
You can drink pink champagne on the beach. Yeah, girl.
You know, pink champagne is an interesting exception. Most pink champagne is actually made by blending white and red wine. It really is one of the most romantic wines on the planet.
Now, if you want a rosé still wine, which would be a wine without bubbles, what are the price ranges that we should be thinking about?
There are wines, quite a few from Spain right now, that are around $7 or $8. There's a wine called Gran Feudo that's about $6.50. Marquis de Caceres, which really is widely available, about $7. And our personal favorite, a wine that's called Vega Sindoa, that's $8.
Now, if you won the lottery tonight and you came into work and there was a note on your desk saying, buy rosé, is there a Break the Bank rosé that you'd think of immediately?
Well, first, if we won the lottery, we wouldn't go into work. But Louis Roederer's pink champagne is the sort of wine that you would only open if you won the lottery because it's so special and it's so astonishingly expensive. But when we win the Powerball, that's what we're getting, $300 a bottle.
Karen Grigsby Bates spoke with Dorothy Gator and her husband, John Brescher. They write the Tastings column for the Wall Street Journal, and they're the authors of the newly revised Wall Street Journal Guide to Wine. This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.